All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And we're going to talk about some stuff, as usual. Okay, guys, so I've been monitoring things, and some things I've been monitoring. I want to know what's going on, so you'll have to show this to me. Let's see if we get back. How do we get out of that again? Oh, shit, what'd I do? Hit the X button. Ah, there we are. So, we're going to go over to my little channel on BitChute. So, I want you guys to explain to me. You know, I've been putting up the Subverse stuff, obviously. And I've noticed 11, 18, 180. Guys, so let's be real. This Lust Theory Season 2 Part 41, It's Christmas, was more of a comedy. He was basically like, if the time hadn't been skipping, it would be Christmas right now. So I'm gonna go buy a Christmas tree, and they're like, are you okay? My cousin's a therapist if you need to talk to somebody because it's springtime. And he's like, Merry Christmas! I need a Christmas tree. And he buys Christmas stuff for, you know, and everybody's confused. But my God, you people loved it. More than anything I've given you from Subverse, and that's really surprising. I don't know what's going on. I wish I knew what you guys found so interesting about Lust Theory Season 2. Somebody please fucking tell me. But I did notice that you guys do like the fortune art there. That's pretty good. I do pay attention to this stuff, people. And Huntress, of course, and Eternum, of course. I mean, it does all right. Our comics aren't doing as well as they used to, but they do well on YouTube. And of course, Love and Rockets really surprised me, guys. So I've got to bring you more Love and Rockets. Like, that's 119. We haven't hit that many hits in a long time. Love and Rockets is a very old, I don't want to say Mexican. It's a Spanish, Hispanic comic. And it's really, yeah, it's really good. It's for adults, but yeah. It's a good one. And I was requested to read it on YouTube. So that on YouTube, it didn't do too well. But here on BitChute, it's gotten a lot of attention.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to have to do more of that. But I want to let you guys know that, yes, I am looking at everything you guys do in real time, checking it out on my phone or whatever. Just to see what everybody's enjoying. Of course, I knew this was going to be hot because of that pick. Sometimes it's just a pick that gets y'all interested. But sometimes it's just horror, like eerie. So, you know, I'm always testing things out. And I know Power Rangers, even though it doesn't do well here, it's doing pretty good on YouTube. So, I always have to check every damn little platform that we have. Of course, BitChute is our main platform right now, so I'm always going to check it first. And thanks to the fine people at BitChute for supporting us, man. It's been awesome to have a place where we can put all our stuff. And
We've
had very minimal... So
it's BitChute, yeah. Rumble, YouTube...
And MGTOW.TV. Yep, that's it. Okay, and I don't know, maybe something else, but I decided that I'm already stretched too thin as it is. But okay, aside from that, we do have some articles. So let's go ahead and talk about something that's a little more important to me. You know, I used to be a metal journalist, and of course I've worked with rock bands. I have not worked with Megadeth and David Ellison, so I don't want to go and say, oh yeah, I worked. No, I didn't. I didn't actually work with them. Matter of fact, I didn't work with any of... I did get Blood Incantation stuff, so you guys... Not their newest record, but the old records? Oh yeah, I definitely got those to review. So yeah, I have worked with their people. But other than that, no, I don't think Chelsea Wolfe, and if I did, I probably skipped it. Look, I'm not interested in everything, so I'm not going to review shit I'm not interested in. If you like Chelsea Wolfe, I'm sorry. I've listened to some of her stuff, it's just not my thing. It's kind of like Bjork, if it was kind of more rock, you know, really? Metal. Yeah, it's not too bad.
Never heard it. I don't think.
Alta Bridge.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Oh, yeah, got all these nice little... I don't even know who the hell these other releases are. Crazy. I've been so out of it, I can't even tell you what some of these damn records are. I've never even heard of some... Ooh, wow, there's a Dope Felons and Revolutionaries. That one I can tell you about. That's a good fucking record. So, anyway... A decade on from the first proclaiming that rock is dead, former Kiss vocalist bassist Gene Simmons stands firm on his opinion. A recent appearance on the Zach Coon Show saw the hard rock legend reaffirm his position on the genre he helped to popularize. Simmons, of course, has at this point at least tripled down on the matter, reasserting his claim numerous times over the years since first making it in 2011? Or is it 20... I know it's not the year 201. That was... If Gene Simmons is alive, he would be thousands of years old.
2001?
I don't know, but it says 201 here. He most recently did it again on the aforementioned show. When asked by Coon if he still felt rock is dead, Simmons responded, "It is."
Probably like February 1st.
And people don't understand how I can say that when we all have our favorite songs and we love our favorite bands and I and everybody else, you and I and everybody else. But what I mean is that, well, let's play a game, and I've done this before. From 1958 until 1988, that's 30 years. So what came during that period? Well, we had Elvis, we had the Beatles, the Stones, Jimi Hendrix, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, and just music that lasts forever, we'd like to think. And the disco world, you know, you had Madonna, more heavy guitars, you had, oh God, AC/DC and everybody else in Aerosmith. And you had Motown at the same time. You had Prince, it was a very, very rich musical menu. You could go up and down.
Oh, yeah.
You had your prog bands like Yes, Genesis, Gentle Giant. You had the heavy bands, Led Zeppelin, and so on. And And from 1988 until today, it's something like 40 years, certainly 35 years. Who are the new Beatles? I mean, I can't think of anybody that's...
Who fucking knows?
There's nobody in...
No, I can't say anybody
Nobody.
There's no, and definitely not in pop or any of that.
Right,
that
not even in pop. All that shit's gone really downhill. So...
The same people that were famous 10 years ago are basically the same people that are famous. There's a couple of new faces, but it's nothing like it was.
Right.
When everybody knew who someone was.
Right.
My parents knew who Limp Bizkit was. They never even listened to a song they put out.
Stop. We're blinded. I'm a major fan. If you walk down the street and ask a 20-year-old, who's the bass player in Nirvana, they wouldn't know what you're talking about.
They still wear their shirts.
I know, and they don't even know they're a band.
Yeah.
Or can you sing a Nirvana song? No. The Beatles, and to a slightly lesser extent, the Stones and Elvis. Everybody knew the Beatles.
Yeah.
If you hated rock music, you knew about them. By the way, I'm delusional enough to believe some market reports about how the Kiss faces are the most recognized faces on the planet. And I've tried this before. You walk down the street, you randomly ask people, who's on Mount Rushmore? They'll say, Elvis. They won't get it, but they know those four faces anywhere you go. They may hate the band, but you can't deny that. The 75-year-old Simmons' opinion on the state of rock was recently echoed by another individual who had some perhaps more modest fame in heavier genres, former Megadeth bassist David Ellefson. In a recent conversation with Border City Rock Talk, Ellefson sided with Simmons' assessment offering, "Rock is dead in America. It really is. And I'm going to say it is too. It's definitely dead. There's a lot of bands out there, but nobody's really promoting them. Sleep Token is not going to save rock. Guys, when you have to give me an article that says, the Sleep Token frontman decided to play Nintendo Switch off stage for a minute. That was this is a real article. They said, we've got footage that he was played a little bit of Nintendo Switch, or was it a Steam Deck, before the show. And this was
before
news.
Before the show?
Not before the show, like during the... He walked off a little bit, played some of the game, and then walked back on. And they made it like a big deal. And I'm like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
It's like he's saying, oh, he went to take a piss. Let's, you know, it's not a big deal. Okay,
of
course,
if you're doing a show, why would you want to play a video game?
I did listen to that band yesterday, and that Neckbreaker, really good. No Cure, Hope I Die Here, I listened to that. I haven't listened to the old Dead Tree yet. I'm still looking at bands.
It seems like there's a lot more independent rock.
Yes, there's a lot more independent.
Which,
but,
so that doesn't necessarily mean rock's dead. But
it doesn't mean it's
industry,
dead. It means that the
industry's definitely not the same.
Yes, the notoriety of it is. But he said, rock is dead in America. It really is. And I know people will lambast me for saying that, but it is. When Gene Simmons said it, everybody hated him for it, but he's right. And unless you're an established band, unless you're Linkin Park and Metallica and Kiss and Slayer, whatever, to start a new rock band, kids aren't into that shit. They're into Facebook and Tesla. Yeah, their lives are on their phones.
Mediocre things that anyone can do.
Being a rock star is not cool anymore, like it was for us growing up. So if you've got it established, you can keep it working. So for me, I enjoy South America and Latin America, where they love rock and roll. And they have a lot of bands.
Oh, yeah.
So many bands coming out of those areas, guys.
Got a copy somewhere of Nirvana playing
Asia
or somewhere.
Australia really big into it. Asia really big into it. There's some great Australian bands. I know some of our fans are Aussies, so just shout out to you guys and your awesome music scene. So you leave America and man, rock and roll is very much alive and well. They champion the legacy stuff. They like the new stuff. There's a lot more. I did a record for Napalm Records, and they had a bunch of new groups. Ginger had just come out. There's all this cool new stuff, as well as me and KK Downing, and legacy artists were putting records out. So I just find it's more supportive. And you look at the statistics, like the Spotify numbers, you look at that globally outside of America, and it's just stronger. It's a different culture. It is what it is. So I play here in America, of course, too, but I find that outside of the USA is where the bread and butter is for that, as far as the bigger interest and the abilities to still keep playing and touring, and they appreciate it. Especially going to a lot of these places in Eastern Europe, the bigger bands, even Megadeth, you play Warsaw, you play Bucharest, but you can't go kind of deeper into the interior to some of these smaller places. And so when I do some of these smaller things like Bass Warrior, I can be a lot more nimble, and I can go kind of through the cracks and crevices and really go. People, yeah, they love it, man. When we're here in North America, you get in your car, you drive down a freeway, you go to another town far away to see a concert. It's not that easy for other people in other cultures. So I feel a privilege to be able to take my music to them. I mean, there you go. So people are, you know, of course, they're making fun of the David Ellison jokes, but anyway, don't worry about that, guys. That's a cat. It'll stop eventually. All right. It will stop eventually, I promise.
There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah, there is. It will stop. Okay, so we got another one. Okay, so this is not one I planned to bring you guys yet, so we're going to skip this one for just this minute. Let's do this one. Glamorous female lawmaker, 30, bullied male aide into sex and then made him run her errands.
Oh, no, that must have been
a glamorous Washington state lawmaker bullied a male aide into sex and then made him run her errands and tried to fire him when he reported her, a lawsuit claims. Emily Klaus, 30, is said to have begun a mutually consensual dating relationship with the unnamed man after being elected as a commissioner in Thurston County, which includes the state's capital of Olympia. But the aide alleges he felt unable to reject Klaus's advances because of the power she held over him, and says he found the romance increasingly unwelcome. It was clear to the plaintiff, however, that if the plaintiff wanted to remain employed, he would need to continue his personal, intimate relationship of a sexual nature with Commissioner Klaus, the claim alleges. Klaus is said to have exploited the man into driving her around, buying her food and drinks, and loaning her cash, which she says she never repaid, the Spokane Spokesman Review reported. He branded her an abuser and reported her behavior to Thurston County's Human Resources Department on July 26. Klaus, who was sworn into a role in November 2023, tried to fire him 30 minutes later and subsequently accused the aide of sexually assaulting her. The aide says other Thurston County officials tried to suppress his claims, allegedly asking him what amount of money it would take to make his claims go away. He was put on administrative leave, which the aide says gave him the impression of being guilty of wrongdoing. In a statement last week, Klaus's lawyer, Maya Robbins, said that Klaus had just recently ended a relationship with a colleague but did not specify if it was the aide in question. Both the dating relationship and the employment relationship recently ended. The county has chosen to investigate that relationship out of an abundance of caution, Robbins wrote. The suit says that the combination of Klaus and Thurston County's alleged behavior caused the aide prolonged stress, physical harm, emotional distress, embarrassment, trauma, and humiliation. It was filed 2 months after a separate lawsuit was filed against the county by the same aide seeking $750,000 in damages. Second suit was followed by lawyers for the aide earlier this week over claims that Thurston County had failed to take the initial legal claim seriously. Klaus was suspended from some of her duties in August while a probe was launched into her alleged abuse. She remains a voting member of Thurston County's Board of Commissioners, but has been banned from representing the county in public. Thurston County vowed to release a report into the allegations by early September, but it has yet to materialize. Klaus tried and failed to get herself reinstated to all her appointments last week. Her lawyer, Maya Robbins, branded the aide's allegations against her fiction. Robbins added, "The allegations in the complaint are absurd on their face and have already been dispelled by an internal workplace investigation." She almost looks like the sister.
She looks like that chick.
She kind of looks like a not as attractive version of the sister in Fetish Locator, where she has the green hair and the little...
I'd give her the business.
Yeah. Thurston County has declined to comment on the claims, citing pending litigation. Klaus's official website describes her as a lifelong resident of Thurston County, an Army veteran who served as a military intelligence analyst. Wow. After leaving the military, Klaus returned home to help manage her family's businesses. She subsequently obtained a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Washington, Tacoma.
How did you get your intel? Well, I forced them into a sexual relationship.
Pretty much, that's what she did. That's what she did.
Well, it sounds... I don't know. That's a tough one, because I would be like, if I was forced into a sexual relationship, it wouldn't be a lot of coaxing for the sexual part. Now, the part where she's making more than me, wanting me to pay for everything.
Right. So, okay. Also, it says Klaus's political interests include helping rehabilitate young offenders and support for homeless people. Then we got Hollywood's Naughtiest Gift Guides with Gwyneth's vibrators, J-Lo's booty balm, and Kim Kardashian's lingerie. Well, damn. Boy, Hollywood is really changing, aren't they?
They have to. They ain't making money on movies.
I guess so.
What's our nastiest things we can do? Oh, let's do another vagina candle. Someone cooking fish in here?
So, folks, unfortunately, we all have to come to grips with this. Most of you here on the channel are guilty of this and will all be jailed individually. You know how they do it. They put everybody in a jail. But kinky secrets of Tuno files revealed why some people are sexually attracted to cartoons, including Bugs Bunny, the Flintstones, and even Miss Pac-Man. I have known some people into Miss Pac-Man.
A lot of black men into Miss Pac-Man.
Is that what it is, fellas? I know we got some black folks watching. Somebody gonna comment? It's me! I'm the one in the Miss Pac-Man! Okay, we got you. Alright. So, from BDSM to threesomes, many people have sexual fantasies that they would love to make a reality. Now, a scientist has lifted the lid on one of the more unusual sexual fetishes he's come across. It's not that unusual. In his new book, Dr. Mark Griffiths, a professor of behavioral addiction at Nottingham Trent University, has delved into tunophilia, the sexual fetish for cartoons. While researching the furry fandom, individuals who derive sexual pleasure from dressing up as an animal and or derive sexual pleasure from having sex with someone dressed as an animal, and objectum sexuality, if you like robots, I'm an objectophile, unfortunately, because if you like robots, robots aren't, So if you like Demi from Subverse, and I know you do, I do, then you're an objectophile. Congratulations, we'll sit in the cell together. Alright, individuals who develop deep emotional and or romantic attachments to specific inanimate objects or structures. I kept coming across various online references to tunophilia, he explained. Tunophilia is a paraphilia, which is very, very, paraphilias are very common in people that are autistic. And that happens to be mine. Is a paraphilia in which individuals are sexually and or emotionally attracted to cartoon characters, including Japanese anime characters. Boy, don't I know it! Why don't you guys tell me about your waifus that you absolutely adore? Just give me paragraphs and paragraphs and and I know I'm gonna regret this because I'm going to go into the comments section. And there's gonna be, here's the book on how much I love my waifu, Grim. And I'll be like, yes, I walked into this.
You put more words into loving an imaginary character than I have into a
real person. That sexualized characters such as Lara Croft, Jessica Rabbit, which was one of my first, or Hercules might be the first to spring to mind. However, Dr. Griffiths says that he has encountered tunophiles who are sexually attracted to somewhat more unusual cartoons. This includes Bugs Bunny, the Flintstones, and even Miss Pac-Man. Now, there was a 55-year-old man in the comments section that says his first was Wilma Flintstone. Now, I was always more of a Betty person. I thought Betty was more attractive than Wilma. I was not big on Fred's wife.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jessica Rabbit.
Well, yeah, old Jessica Rabbit. See right there. Gorgeous.
Really, you put curves on anything that resembles...
Well, it's the red hair and the green eyes.
Yeah, but if you... I mean, anything that resembles anything sexual of a woman, it's gonna... There's a documentary I watched on why Greek people exaggerated muscle structure and curves and everything
cool.
On statues, and they were given an example, like in Spain, there's these red beak seagulls and they have a red bill, and if you put a popsicle with a painted yellow with a red bill on the end, of course the chicks go after it, but if you put two red stripes on it, mm-hmm. on top of that, it's like heroin. They attack it even more trying to get food. So it's the exaggeration that drives the dopamine level even more.
So, man, I bet she could give a hell of a blowjob. Okay, so anyway, writing in his book, Sexual Perversion, Sexual Perversions and Paraphilias, an A to Z. Oh, you know what? I'm going to pick that book up, Mr. Griffiths. I'm going to, it's like, you're going to read it? We'll read it on the channel. It's like, what the hell?
It'll be a long read.
It's like, oh, I have done full reads before. Ugh. I'll read the whole damn book. He'd be like, oh my God, Grim. He's like, and then Dr. Griffiths would be like, I've looked at the content of your channel, and you know what? I was going to do a copyright strike, but good Lord, I actually want to check out more things now. I need to do more work, research, since looking at your channel. I didn't know people were into this, too. It's like, don't worry, sir. If you want, we can exchange notes sometime. Hey, I would do that. I would gladly exchange notes with you to let people understand that these are things and they're not going away. Some claim that there are several different definitions for tunophiles online. Some claim that tunophilia only applies to individuals whose primary exclusive sexual interest is cartoon characters. There also appear to be similar paraphilias, such as fictophilia, in which individuals are romantically and or sexually attracted to fictional characters in books, and gameophilia. Gameophilia? Guys! Yeah, alright, so Mr. Dr. Griffiths, you don't need 100 million different fucking definitions.
Get your winner.
Just call it fictophilia.
Blow on it.
And just call it fictophilia, because we don't need to be, oh, I'm a gamophile, oh, I'm a tunophile, I'm a... No! Good Lord, put it all under the banner of fictional character. Yeah, that's... Yeah, yeah, we don't want the flag, sir! We're rejecting the flag. They want... Look, I've even fought with people. Dude, I've fought with LGBT over there. But they're not real people! Like, we don't want to be part of your flag! Like, be...
Of course they're not real people.
Be gay!
Or oh, what, you're be, talking about cartoons.
Be gay or whatever. I don't care. If you want to be gay, be gay.
Yeah,
we're
if
not,
you want to be trans, do it on your own.
Do time. All that. That's fine. That's fine. We don't want to be part of that. We have our own thing. So, okay. Like I was saying, attracted to fictional characters in books and gameophilia in which individuals are romantically and or sexually attracted to fictional video game characters such as Tomb Raider's Lara Croft. One now-defunct website claimed that tunophilia is seen as a lifestyle and that due to the absence of physical contact between humans and cartoon characters, most tunophile sexual activity unsurprisingly consists of masturbation. While this third definition points out the physical absence of cartoon characters, that hasn't stopped some tunophiles from pursuing relationships further. At the Go Petition website, there was a genuine petition asking for relationships and marriages between human and cartoon characters to be made legal, Dr. Griffiths said. According to the expert, the most popular characters among tunophiles are Japanese anime. No surprise to anyone! However, Dr. Griffiths has also come across tunophiles who are attracted to Bugs Bunny, Ms. Pac-Man, Jessica Rabbit, and Betty Boop. Other sites feature obscene and or pornographic images and videos of many different cartoon characters like the Flintstones having sex, he added. Unsurprisingly, Lara Croft is also a top choice for many tunophiles. She's a big-breasted digital icon, he said. However, most Tomb Raider players are not lusting adolescents. As part of his own research, Dr. Griffiths questioned as a group of players on why Tomb Raider is such a good game. The single most important factor appeared to be the problem-solving component as part of the treasure hunt genre, he explained.
Oh, is that why they're horned up over? Nah, it's tits and ass.
Her physical attributes did not seem to be important for most players apart from the youngest teenagers. Maybe it's among this group of teenage video game players that tunophile tendencies might begin to develop. You can find out more about paraphilias in his book. I'm going to go ahead and put that in a tab. Difference between a kink and a fetish. What? I didn't know there was a difference. I've been running this channel for how long? And a kink is something that arouses us that's not considered the sexual norm. As you can imagine, this is highly subjective and dependent on who we're talking about. Tongue kissing was considered kinky by your great-grandmother. But it's basically something that you really enjoy but isn't necessary or even wanted every single sex session.
Oh, you're going out getting some of that cheap music, are you?
Fetish is a sexual act or object that is nearly always necessary for the person to become aroused and enjoy sex. If you have a foot fetish, for instance, unless feet or shoes are involved in the sex you're having, chances are it won't be satisfying for you. Okay, I get it now. So fetish is something you have to have. A kink is something that is just out of the norm.
That
makes sense. Let me see if this has anything to do with anything. Is this new or old? Ooh, we got another one. Are your sexual fantasies normal? Scientist reveals the most bizarre fetishes he's encountered, including getting aroused by farts. Oh my God.
We knew a fella.
Yeah, we knew a fella. It's often seen as a taboo subject. But one scientist is finally lifting the lid on our deepest and darkest sexual fantasies. Professor Mark Griffiths, an expert in behavioral addiction at Nottingham Trent University, has revealed the most unusual paraphilias he has encountered. Paraphilias are uncommon types of sexual expression, often described as sexual deviations, sexual perversions, or disorders of sexual preference, he explained in an article for The Conversation. They are typically accompanied by intense sexual arousal to unconventional or non-sexual stimuli, such as enemas, statues, dolls actually, yeah, dude, Dolls are this. If you have a doll, you are an agalmatophilia. Agalmatophilia is a doll. That's a doll because statue has been moved to doll. It's an agal. You're not a. I forgot what TFM used to say it was, but he says no. You're an agalmatophilia. That's what it is. Agalmatophilist or whatever. Teeth, odontophilia, and vomit. Yeah, some people are into that. Emetophilia. While paraphilia seems strange or socially unacceptable to most people, Professor Griffiths argues that they should be studied by scientists. Paraphilias may be laughed off, dismissed, or leave some people disgusted, but there's a pressing need for more research into uncommon sexual behavior given no, he added. I don't know what that is. Supposed to be now? I don't know. What? Here's a look at five of the most unusual paraphilias he's come across, including getting aroused by farts. So, vorophilia.
Oh, shit, what?
Vorophilia. Now, this is a real thing. There's a lot of games that are based on this. Basically, if you have a monster game, if the monster eats you and you are in being digested by the monster's fluids, that is, especially if it's a giant worm, like a giant monster, like a tremor, that's very popular. I've actually written some Vora. Okay. And the reason why I wrote the Vora erotica story is because I thought it would be fun. I thought it would be interesting. But anyway, I'm not into it personally. It's just one of those things where I'm like, why not? Hollywood actor Arnie Hammer hit the headlines in 2021 after allegedly sending messages detailing his own cannibalistic fetishes. Yeah. While he has since laughed off the allegations, Professor Griffiths says that being sexually aroused by cannibalism is very real. Vorophilia, or vor, refers to being sexually aroused by the idea of being eaten, and eating another person, or observing the process for sexual gratification, he explained. Most of the fantasies of vorophiliacs involve being the ones eaten. Devouring someone could be viewed as the ultimate act of dominance by a predator, and the ultimate act of submission by the prey. Professor Griffiths highlights the case of Armin Muse, who was sentenced to life in prison after killing and eating a man. After posting adverts online, Muse received a response from Bernd Jürgen Brandes, who agreed to be eaten. And Rammstein wrote a song about that. It's called Mind Tale. They met up only once. Muse bit off Brandes' penis. Yep, that's why it's called Mind Tale, Mind Part. Which the two of them cooked and ate, Professor Griffiths detailed. Brandes was videotaped being stabbed to death by Muse in his bath. The body was then stored for Muse to eat. While Muse was convicted of murder, or Maywas,
Maywas was convicted of murder.
Professor Griffiths notes that although some paraphilias are illegal, most cause no psychological or behavioral problems when they are engaged by consenting adults. The number one, or the most popular, supposed to be most popular fetishes, bondage. Farting is the second most popular fetish in the UK. Y'all have some explaining to do.
Girls.
Tickling, giantess, female wrestling. I do like that. Face sitting, family taboo. Very popular with a lot of games. Maybe that's why we have 169 views on that one video. Mixed wrestling, what's the difference in that? Foot worship and female domination.
Now, I will say,
I didn't know farting was so popular in the UK. What is going on in the UK?
I would call
that, I'd like you to fart on me if you wouldn't mind.
That's not a fetish as much as it is a milestone in your relationship when you can both fart and not be disgusted with one another.
Dacrophilia is getting aroused from seeing someone cry. Wow. That sounds very...
Uh-oh. I might be into that.
It comes in three main forms, according to Professor Griffiths. Compassionate dacrophiles are sexually aroused by the compassion of comforting a crier, he said. Dominant or submissive dacrophiles are sexually aroused by either causing tears in a consenting or submissive partner, or by being made to cry by a consenting dominant partner.
Can you imagine your girl coming home, like, someone ran over your dog, she starts crying, he's like, are we going to do this or what?
Curled lip dacrophiles are sexually aroused by the curling of a protruded bottom lip during crying. Wow, that's fascinating. A proctophilia. While farts make most of us giggle, they can actually sexually arouse some people, known as a proctophilia. Professor Griffiths...
if a body part was laying right there as it vibrated. Maybe.
First encountered a proctophilia in 2013. Yes. when he met a 22-year-old single man from Illinois called Brad, not his real name. In school, Brad had a crush on a girl who farted in class, and this sparked a strange interest within him. Then in his mid-teens, Brad heard a male friend fart and began fixating on this sound.
Oh, Lord.
He set up a bet with the wager being the right to fart in the loser's face for a week, Professor Griffith said. He continued to lose such bets once every few weeks for about 2 years.
That's terrible. Terrible.
Apotemnophilia. Okay, this is a fantasy, a reality of being with an amputee. Yeah, some may pretend to be amputees.
Girl, unfold those legs.
But for a minority,
not a fake leg.
The behavior involves obsessive scheming to convince a surgeon to perform a medically unnecessary amputation. To most people, this might seem like a type of masochism, but case studies suggest that there is no erotization of pain, only of the healed, amputated stump. Saurophilia. Finally, Professor Griffiths highlights saurophilia, which is a sexual arousal from soiling or disheveling. So,
disheveling someone attractive.
This could include tearing or damaging their clothes, covering them in mud, messing up their hair or makeup.
According to the Cleveland Steamer, like shitting on their chest.
Yes, it's that, but they're not talking about
they're
that.
They're not going all out. Well, oh, those are amateurs.
Boy, we might have to go into the next one, the fetishes of the future. This could include, okay, so 2019,
like
Professor Griffiths met Jeff, not his real name, a 58-year-old man with saurophilia. When he was young, Jeff recounted wanting to masturbate in strange places such as lying under a cabinet in a dirty garage. And while he had hoped to engage in saurophilic practices with women, it proved difficult to find like-minded women. He was also a fan of the TV show Fear Factor, in which contestants perform revolting tasks for prize money, such as eating rotting food or being submerged in foul fluids, Griffiths added. These were a source of sexual arousal for Jeff. He told me, I just find the defilement of an attractive woman's body erotic. You can find out more in his book.
Might
okay,
go on the Craigslist,
so let's you. See what this is. Okay, so this is one we completely skipped, but it's just a little bit older, still 2024. We'll talk about this, and then we'll be done. Not with the show, but with this one. Alright, so fetishes of the future. Nurses and firemen will be replaced by realistic elves and aliens as more people embrace VR sex, futurologist projects. They're often regarded as a taboo subject, but a new report is finally lifting the lid on sexual fetishes and what they might look like in the future. Sexual wellness brand Lilo has worked with futurologist Tom Cheesewright to predict the future of love, sex, and relationships. As virtual reality becomes more widespread, Mr. Cheesewright suggests that our fetishes will veer away from the more traditional options of nurses and firemen. Instead, Britons will be fantasizing about realistic elves and aliens, he claims. For the report, Lilo asked Mr. Cheesewright how he thinks that love, sex, and relationships will evolve over the next 50 years. Writing in the report, he explained, I use the modified scenario planning process. Starting with some of today's prevailing trends, I stretch them out to the 50-year horizon and imagine how the world might look at that point if those trends persist in the
uneven... The cat's straight up boxing now.
That trends tend to do. Yeah.
That thing on steroids?
One of the futurologists' key predictions is that the Britons will have more sex than virtual environment. The continuing integration of technology into our daily lives. Let's see us spending the majority.
Where's my protein shake, meow, motherfucker?
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck's going on? Okay, but back to the article. One of the futurologist's key predictions is that Britons will have more sex in a virtual environment. The continuing integration of technology into our daily lives will see us spending the majority of our days in a semi-digital environment, he predicted. Likely a mixed reality, this will feature digital objects, avatars, and artificial intelligences projected into our physical surroundings via smart glasses or lenses. Inevitably, there will be a huge amount of sexual content. The proliferation of VR tech will create interesting opportunities, according to Mr. Cheesewright. To date, most of the exploration of virtual reality in a sexual context has been for immersive pornography, he added. But the integration of physical and digital creates new possibilities. VR will allow people to rewrite their surroundings for the ultimate fantasy roleplay, he says, with realistic elves and aliens, just two of the possibilities. We can build characters around toys, robots, and AIs. There'd be a lot of temptation, he added. The report comes shortly after a survey by Lilo found that 1 in 3 Britons would like to have an intimate relationship with a robot. Well, nice. We will talk about that later. Lilo surveyed 4,000 participants about their sexual experiences and desires in 2023. While a third of Britons said they'd like to have sex with a robot, the results revealed a huge split among genders. Almost half, 43.9% of the men, surveyed that they'd be up for a robot romp, while just 21% of women said they want the same thing. So...
they already got it.
Yeah.
Hell, vibrator industry's out of control.
So, one of three Britons said they'd like to have an intimate relationship with a machine. Report reveals the idea of having... okay, so, report by Lilo, dubbed the Sex Census, quiz thousands of Britons about their sex habits and desires. It reveals that a third of Britons have used, would use, or would maybe consider using a sex robot if an affordable option was released. And we're not just talking sex dolls here. Sex robots refer to sophisticated devices that are integrated with AI, allowing them to move and talk just like real people. For the report, they surveyed 4,000, and they had a third of Britons, and we talked about that there. Sex robots are confused with the dolls, and sex robots are much more sophisticated and come with a much heftier price tag. Lilo highlights two popular sex robots called Henry and Harmony 3.0, which were created by AI robotics firm Realbotics. Henry was released back in 2018 and not only boasts superhuman sexual performance, but is good at cracking jokes. A 6 foot tall with a rippling six pack and brooding dark looks, the droid can also welcome his owner home and discuss their favorite TV show or film according to its creators. He can even woo them with romantic phrases and words to their favorite love poem or song. However, Henry ain't cheap. He costs between 8,000 and 11,000 euros. That's between $10,000 and $13,000. Depending
it's
on
like $2.50 for every dollar.
Yeah, optional extras. Meanwhile, Harmony is priced at $14,000, about $15,000, and features a self-lubricating vagina which can be removed and put in the dishwasher. You can get those, I think, from the dollhouse now. Oh, and while we're talking about all this sex robot stuff, don't forget about our sponsor, BigRobotPussy.com, because you can get one of those too. Now, I don't think it self-lubricates. I don't think it does that, but it does some. You've got one.
Yeah.
It does the job. It does the job, and it can go in any doll. So, speaking to the... oh, don't forget, before we go on with the article, don't forget there's also the waifu goo, the follow me eyes, and a bunch more stuff that you can pick up. So, that stuff is always available, and definitely pick up a spinning robot pussy if you don't have one yet. Okay. So, speaking to the Daily Star, Matt McMullen, CEO of Realbotics, said customers will be able to get a body equipped with internal heating, lubrication, and touch sensors. It'll communicate with the AI so that you're able to create reactions to both movement and sound. He claims that sex robots will help to improve skills in the bedroom by making people less afraid to be adventurous. He said having sex with a robot is only going to help you with your skills. It'll get you to last longer in bed, try different positions, and be more adventurous. But what he doesn't know is that some guys are going to prefer the robots. He even suggests interactions.
Well, the thing is, they're going to lose hunting skills.
Right.
Like, you know, talking to women.
Well, people are generally going to move out of that. When you have more, when you have a better option, people aren't going to. I mean, they're just generally.
Well, at the moment it is, but.
Generally, well, that's what I mean. Eventually, yeah, it will happen, but that just seems to be a feature of the technology. The stronger, the greater the technology, the less the communication with people, unless we can find a way to incorporate people with the technology. Yeah, but
things that cause reproduction.
But that's what the artificial womb is going to do. Artificial womb is going to just heighten up reproduction like 3,000% because they'll be able to take all the sperm and everything that everybody's been using, put it in labs, make people, just grow people like crazy. That's going to be it. So, no, they won't even have to. Women won't have to worry about the pains of pregnancy and everything because they'll just have a little, an artificial womb. They won't have it inside them. It's going to be like labs, like big old rooms just full of.
Sounds like how the Matrix starts.
Yeah, kind of. But, anyway, he even suggests interactions with robots will go beyond sex, and men could seduce, charm, and chat with the robot. Well, I hope so. You see the robot on my page? I'd like to have that, and I want mine to be a bitch. Like, I've literally said I want mine to be kind of sassy. The reason why I want it to be sassy is so I can sass it back. And you're like, really? Yeah, because I enjoy that. Because
he's into tears.
I'm not into tears. It's like... I want it to...
cry, bitch, cry.
I wanted to crack sassy jokes, like just be a complete. I was like, okay.
Horse's ass.
Yeah, so I could go in there and say the same thing.
I'll show you, little wiener.
Yeah, I like that shit. All right, so, however, other experts have expressed concerns that sex with robots could become addictive. Well, I mean, unfortunately, yeah, that could happen. Or fortunately, rather. Robotic sex may become addictive. Sex bots would always be available and could never say no, so addictions will be easy to feed. People will rearrange their lives to accommodate the addictions. Oh, well, that's just part of the territory. Okay, so that's it for that deep dive. Didn't know we were going to have a deep dive there, but student from, we've got one final article tonight. Student from a wealthy family who wants to have sex with 1,000 men in 24 hours. This is not the same one. Lily Phillips, who's made $2 million from OnlyFans, tells all to Jane Fryer about her sordid son in an interview that reveals the horrifying truth about sex today. Lily Phillips is counting down the days to Christmas, when she'll celebrate with her family in a pretty village near Derby. Oh, this is the same girl. This is just her real name. The festive spirit will be very much alive, and her parents still insist she and her older brother hang their stockings for Santa. They even make us do the plate of carrots and mince pies for Santa and his reindeer, she says. But we all love it. It's just good being together and nice not to be working for once. I'm very excited because I love...
Wouldn't that be terrible to be the brother? Like, what right. What's your sister do? Oh, she's a whore.
Like, the, she's... Whore. No, not just a whore. She's the whore.
You like...
Oh, well, she broke the world record for sleeping with the most men in 24 hours.
She's one of those... You ever hear the joke about the dead hooker guy goes in the whorehouse? Says, I only got $10. What can I get? They said, well, we got a dead hooker upstairs. He goes up there, has his time, comes back down. They said, how was it? He said, it's pretty good. Only problem was her nose kept running. He said, oh, she must be full. There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Reminds me of that joke.
It's good being together and not... Okay, and this year, I'm giving them all a big ski holiday. How lovely. And then she'll have a nice restorative break before she tackles her New Year's resolution.
Uh-oh.
Which I promise is not like yours or mine or anyone else's on the planet. Because Lily, 23, has set herself the target. Please brace yourselves here of breaking a world record by sleeping with 1,000 men in 24 hours.
Sorry,
yes, 1,000. So let me pause this for just a second, because we are going to hear.
Welcome to Lily Phillips, who is one of the big stars of OnlyFans. She's been causing quite a stir lately, not just because she's got over 30,000 subscribers on OnlyFans, but over 500,000 on Instagram, but more so because you've been setting yourself some rather big challenges. Can you tell us about the one you've got coming up at the end of January, Lily?
So I want to be the first person to be with 1,000 guys in one day.
And are you daunted by this?
No, not really. I'm quite excited. Obviously, it's stressful with all the logistics of things. But it's not daunting.
But you did have a dry run in October. You limbered up with, was it 100?
Yeah, we did 100 in a day. It was like
100 in a day.
Warm up for the day, if you will. And that all went really smoothly. So that's when we said, let's go ahead with 1,000.
And so.
Well, let's go ahead. 100 was fine. Not 200, not 300.
Each man.
In out, I'm hoping a couple seconds at most. We're hoping for some other girls there, make it a bit of an event.
Hold on.
Out, I'm hoping a couple seconds at most.
A couple seconds at most.
There, make it a bit of an event.
Basically, the way I said it, you go in, you're done. You go in, you're done. You go in, you're done. Nobody's going to get a chance to finish. They're just going to put that in. Okay, you're done. Next. Okay, you're done. Next. Okay, you're done.
I'm sorry
Next.
If I'm putting it in. I'm going all the way.
There's nothing else that's going to happen here.
But
hold on.
And enjoy. And, you know, they don't just get 2 seconds. They get a little bit longer.
Okay.
They're not paying, but you are filming them.
Yeah. It's kind of like a little bit of a deal here where, you know, if you get to sleep with me, I get to film that.
What has OnlyFans meant for you? You're 23 now, you've been on it since you were 18, is that right?
Yeah, so honestly, it's changed my life, like, to do with just
like
how
no one
I feel
wants
about
to be
myself,
with me anymore.
My confidence, I feel like it's giving me just a job that I love.
And get paid quite a lot of money for.
Yeah, and that. Definitely. And just so much freedom.
When did you start doing porn on OnlyFans?
So I started doing porn a year ago now. And I just loved it so much. And I think my porn was getting quite mundane, and that's when I decided to kind of ramp it up and do some challenges and do some fun stuff.
It's a big challenge. So how will you prepare for that?
There's not much preparation that goes into it, mm-hmm. personally. Obviously, a bit with a razor and mm-hmm. a good shower and a good night's sleep.
Big meal the night before.
Yeah, not yeah.
Carb loading, that's what I like to think.
Bitch,
but other than that, it's just got to be a bit of pure determination.
So if you set a record like that, does that go in the Guinness Book of Records, or do they not do sex records?
They don't do sex records. It's not their thing. No.
And your family are very supportive of what you're doing. Your mum does your finances.
Yeah.
Your dad's pretty cool about it. Your brother's supportive. Have you had much back chat from other people?
Definitely people online, but at the end of the day, I don't know these people, so why would I care about their opinion?
And would you consider
Of course,
yourself,
they're considered the wisest people in the world, but I don't listen to them because they're on the internet.
I love it. I'm doing what I love and what I enjoy and making a career out of it, so what's wrong with that, you know? It's my life. Why would people be bothered what I'm doing with my life?
And are there any men that come up that you... Because it sounds like they're not filtered by photo.
Oh, no, it's any size, any kind of guy, it doesn't matter.
Any age.
Above 18.
Yeah.
She's not going for quality, she's going for quality.
Anyone.
And anyone you just haven't fancied doing it with?
Any cockle do, eh?
There's no one I've said no to yet, and I don't think there would be. I think that could be quite cruel.
Yeah. So do you feel quite protective over some of them?
She doesn't have a fantasy.
Definitely. Some of them are just such lovely gentlemen. They're here for a good time like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have that in common. And, yeah, we just want to have an enjoyable experience together.
And do you think that your generation just has a different attitude to sex and bodies?
I think some of us have definitely gotten a lot more liberal.
Mm-hmm.
100%, especially with OnlyFans and with porn.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a huge thing on the internet now.
But
yeah,
how
definitely.
Old were you when you first started watching porn, do you think?
Oh, you know, I probably first watched porn when I was maybe like 12.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start like masturbation or anything like that till I was maybe 18.
To 18?
Yeah.
And that's when you lost your virginity?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're catching up.
Yeah, exactly. Making up for the lost time.
Thank you very much, Lily.
No, thanks.
Lovely to talk to you.
You too.
I mean, if I didn't know she'd been with him, I might be for
right.
But it would be like your favorite slice of pizza, but you drop it in shit. But you're still hungry, but I'm still not willing to eat that pizza after I've you know what I mean? It's
right.
Been ran through the wash. You got, what, 998 samples... And yours next in line before 1,000.
So
I don't like mixing my pudding with everyone else's.
All of which will be filmed and live streamed on her account, the OnlyFans, the adult. Well, we know that. To her 36,000 subscribers. There should probably have more after during this. She has advertised
that,
it online.
Sticky. Who wants that?
With a picture of herself looking particularly fetching in a white lace camisole top, accompanied by the strip line, 1,000 men in 24 hours, male talent casting call, 18 plus only, location TBC, and apparently the men are flooding in. I dreamed it up with my assistant. I can't wait. It's very exciting. It will be a world record, a real challenge, she says, as if we're talking about climbing Everest. The current record holder is Lisa Sparks, who had sex with 919 men in Warsaw, Poland in one day in 2004.
Ugh.
Imagine getting that far and not making the 1,000, exclaims Lily. Before we go any further, and probably it's a bit late already, I should issue a health warning. This piece is not for the faint-hearted or anyone with any remotely... moral views on sex, fidelity, modesty, normality, or holding anything back. And perhaps not for anyone with a Gen Z daughter and already worrying about their sexual hinterland. Or for that matter, a son, because obviously it takes two to tango, or in this case, 1,000. But it is real. Horrifyingly real. So real that in late October, Lily did a practice run. 101 men in 24 hours in a two-bedroom apartment in Chelsea, central London that she'd rented on Airbnb. That was a warm-up to limber her up for the big one. Like doing a 10K before the marathon, she says. And it is like a marathon. I carb-loaded the night before with a huge bowl of pasta.
Uh-oh, someone's going to be excited about that fart fetish.
Oh, Lord. It's really tiring, not just physically, but mentally. I like to be chatty and chirpy to help them feel relaxed because a lot of them are very nervous. It was a huge success, but I was so tired afterwards. I celebrated with a Nando's and then slept solidly for 14 hours. If you're reeling as you read on, it's not surprising. Talking to Lily is like bobbing into a parallel universe where everything's upside down, where Gen Z bodies are for sale like sweets. Sex is nothing more than a numbers game, and parents, even grandparents, apparently are very supportive. Lily's mom is even her head of finance, for goodness sake. Meanwhile, Lily herself is a bubbly, beautiful, articulate, immaculately mannered girl, chatters on and on in exactly the same perky tone as she did about her family Christmas or her beloved dog, Maggie, about how she graduated from posting sneaky pics to full-blown porn on her hugely lucrative OF account, how she earns over six figures a month and employs eight staff. Wow, all women. And how the only way to achieve the 1,000 will be with a human conveyor belt. Ideally, we're doing it in a big warehouse with two doors. Wow. I'm hoping a couple of seconds each at most. And on their way, she says in her sweet girly voice, as if we're talking about a gym workout. A couple of seconds each at most. Some guys are saying 44 seconds. Because people are doing the math online. For years now, we have been warned of the pornification of society thanks to endless free online sites like Pornhub, which tempt in young teens, give them a warped idea of sex. And in 2016, OnlyFans popped up in Texas and changed the landscape. Unlike porn sites, it is an online platform where creators insist that they are in control, charging followers a base subscription fee to look at their content, and then offering a more explicit a la carte, usually but not always sexual content, through tips. The more you pay, the more you see. It took off like a rocket. The site has 305 million users and 4.1 million creatives. And in 2023, it generated a record of $6.6 billion, $5.2 billion, of which the company takes 20%. The creatives get the rest. Which means that some, a teeny percentage of mostly porn stars, rappers, and pop stars, are making millions. But not the rest, who are mostly young women who cite female empowerment and feminism as they sell photos and videos, well, pretty much everything that will grab someone's attention in the hope of striking gold. Just like Lily, you have to stand out with unique content and you have to be different, she explains. As if we're talking about coming up with a fun new TikTok dance, because there are so many people on OnlyFans. Hence the record attempt, all of which feels quite a stretch from her picture-perfect childhood in that pretty village near Derby, where as a little girl she dreamt of running a wedding dress shop. So how on earth are we sitting here today? What happened? How can she talk chirpily about having sex with 1,000 men as if it's completely normal?
Because her brain...
Her parents worked hard, ran a cleaning company, and made enough money to buy nice cars, including a Land Rover and a Porsche and a few properties. I think I got my work ethic and creativity from my dad, she said. Her elder brother is an ethical hacker, paid by companies to demonstrate flaws in their security systems. He worries about her safety. And that even the 100 men might have been a bit too much for her physically. He went to private school, but Lily didn't fancy that, so stayed in the state sector before heading off to Sheffield University to study nutrition. So far, so normal, as was her sexual history at that stage. She didn't have a boyfriend until she was 17, and lost her virginity just before her 18th birthday. I wanted it to be with someone I really cared about, she says. I was only at Sheffield, where I couldn't attend a single lecture due to the pandemic, that she embraced with sex with gusto, particularly one-night stands, and launched her OnlyFans feed. Okay, so this was the pandemic that was responsible for a lot of this. Back then, no one really knew about it, she says. I wanted to do it for a while, but it felt slightly disrespectful to my parents to do it under their roof. She made 2,000 in the first 24 hours, which is pretty good when you're at university, and was hooked. At first, the content was pretty anodyne. Cleavage, bikinis, cheeky glances. But I was sort of selling sex to guys on my nights out without making any money, so I thought I might as well charge for it. So she started stripping and getting a bit spicy, doing solo stuff, and a year ago she graduated to porn. It's such fun, she beams. I love it. But the money didn't really shoot up, so she started dreaming up madder and madder schemes. There was a competition in which the prize was sex with her, won by a Scottish chap called Kenneth, whose girlfriend traveled down with him and waited in the next door room. He was so lovely, a DJ. He's a friend now, she says. She did some joint content with Bonnie Blue. This is the other one that's trying to do 1,000. Another OnlyFans blonde who has made millions after working her way around Derby, Nottingham, Cancun, and Australia wearing a sandwich board that read, "Bonk me for free and let me film it," sleeping with students on vacation and videoing it for her content. She grew up in a village about 20 minutes from me. How crazy is that? There must be something in the water. We even look similar, though our views don't quite align. Oh, man. Alex Jones would say, there's something in the water that's turning these girls into whores. They're turning the girls into whores. They're doing it to the leader. Gotta turn all your girls into whores. You gotta, men of God, you better protect your daughters because they're coming. They're coming with their whore chemicals, and all of a sudden, they're gonna join OnlyFans, and that's gonna be it. That's all.
I wonder if they're even, the parents and brother are even supportive, or if they're just doing it.
Because of the money.
There's no other choice, or there's money.
There's money in it.
Because I don't care if they're getting paid or not. I wouldn't want my kids.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
You know, no. I
And, okay, it said, I can't remember her exact words, but it's along the lines that men deserve to cheat if their women don't give them as much sex as they want. I think that's a dangerous point of view and could lead to domestic abuse. Then on October 19th, Lily did the 100. Men traveled from all over. Two flew in specially from America, one from Sweden, another from France. Bunches of friends drove hundreds of miles and slept in their cars. They chatted and joked in the waiting room. Some shared a beer in the street outside. Some were students. They all knew who they know who they are, but I doubt their parents do, or their girlfriends, or wives, or children. What on earth were they thinking? Perhaps that's another article. Each got exactly 5 minutes before her phone alarm went off. It was brilliant. My assistants were really good hosts in the waiting room, with coffees and pastries and clapping people as they came back out. It was a great atmosphere, and they were so lovely. Really? All of them? She's being very generous, but there was no filtering system. Just send in a photo with your ID, and the first 100 were taken. Any shape, any size, any race, any age, anyone. Of course, you have to be over 18, of course. The oldest was probably in his 60s or 70s. I was looking at some of them thinking, you could definitely be my granddad. And did that bother her? Nope, not at all, she chirps. She claims she actively fancied about 30% of them. I was like, come back! Which, of course, she still leaves the rest. Some full of bravado, a few were pushy when their time was up. Ooh! There's no one I said no to, and I don't think there would be. I think that would be quite cruel. Some of them were quite nervous, and I felt quite protective of them as it made and made it as personal as authentic as possible. Blimey. Listening to Listening to Lily chatter on, it's easy to feel you're going mad. That is entirely normal to sleep with 100 men in a day. After they've queued up there in their socks and Crocs, eating croissants and chatting with their pals, they wait their turn. And they clearly think it's okay, too. At about 60 men, she nearly hit the wall. Man, that fast, right? It was all me, and it was hard graft, she says. But she did it, and lessons were learned. About logistics to timetabling, and not to waste time as the men take off and put their clothes back on. Next time, I want them to come in ready. I wanted them to have a good experience and be relaxed, but it was tiring doing all the chat, she says. So for the record attempts, she'll have 4 girls to make sure everyone has a good time, which will be great content for them, too, so they're happy, she says. Bloody hell, Lily, life is not just about content, not that she's ever likely to agree with me on that, but is she happy? Yes, she beams. Truly, I love it. I love what I'm doing, and I enjoy it. I'm making a career out of it. It's my life. What's wrong with that? Okay, and what about the 1,000? Is she nervous? It's a bit stressful. There's not much preparation. A good shower, good night's sleep. But other than that, it's pure determination. I'm not daunted. I just want to complete it. Though she's a bit sad that there will be no official present from the Guinness Book of Records. Apparently they don't do sex records, which seems a shame, she said. I thought they had a world sex records thing, though. And not Guinness, but somebody else did.
I think it's some porn producer or something.
Meanwhile, the men will all wear condoms and have instant HIV tests, but no one pays. In return, they agree to be filmed on her content. And if they don't want their face on film, they can wear a balaclava. Of course, with OnlyFans success comes cash. Lily goes a bit pink when I pry, but eventually admits that she's already banked well over $2 million. But it also brings fame, and not always when you want it. There was one tricky encounter in a nightclub when a well-refreshed girl accosted her, furious that her partner had subscribed to her OnlyFans feed. Uh-oh. That was a bit awkward, but not my fault. And sometimes people yell slut at her in the street, not that she cares. I don't know these people. Why'd I care about their opinion? Instead, she feels empowered and happy, and while she recognizes it's not for the faint-hearted, vulnerable, desperate, and perhaps anyone who does not have an astonishingly relaxed attitude to sex, she insists she is very grateful to OnlyFans. Honestly, it's changed my life, how I feel about myself, my confidence. I'm a 23-year-old woman who pays my own rent, earns good money. I'm very proud of what I achieved. I'm a feminist 100%, she says. That would be definitely second wave, though I do sometimes feel a bit guilty because I look at other jobs and think they're so much more deserving of this money, but I guess that's just life. After the last few sexual challenges, I'm almost afraid to ask what could possibly come next. I'm going to have a little break, she says. And after that, she hasn't dated anyone for 2 years since her last boyfriend became too jealous and it all went very toxic. In her 30s and 40s and 50s and beyond, does she want a steady relationship? Surely she can't have thought it all through, but it seems she has. I'm not stupid. Of course it'll be tricky. Very tricky. That's what held me back at the start. I know that 90% of the population will not want me, but there's another 10%. And anyway, I wouldn't want to be with someone who doesn't feel openly about sex. And does she want to settle down? Oh, yes, I want to have a marriage like my parents and at least 5 children.
I tell you, the 10%...
it's going to be like...
it's going to be the bottom of the barrel.
And with that, we call it a day. Me desperately trying to square this bubbly, chatty, funny, and articulate girl from Derby who wanted to run a wedding dress shop with OnlyFans Lily, and still wondering how on earth it all happened. And she counting down the days to her cozy Christmas and family skiing holiday before girding her loins to sleep with 1,000 random men in a single day. My goodness gravy. This is our world, folks.
I would ask her to talk to some former porn stars and ask them what
they've gotten a hold of Blue. Maybe they'll get a hold of her too, but it's unlikely that she's gonna listen.
Like, once you're used up, nobody wants shit to do with you. That's why people build relationships and yeah, nobody that knows your past, that's respectable. That's why her boyfriend broke up with her, because who wants to be one in the queue of thousands?
Okay, so, oh yeah, this one.
I thought we were...
yeah. I mean, if you need to leave, but this is short. This is stupid right. Short. Okay. All right, so last one. We're going to do this real quick. OnlyFans star Sophie Rain, who earned $43 million, claims she is... in 1 year, rather, claims she's a virgin and a devout Christian. $43 million, the biggest... so we'll talk about it. She's currently the biggest earner on OnlyFans. But Sophie Rain is far more chaste than her racy reputation would lead you to believe. The Miami-based model who earned $43 million in just 1 year on OnlyFans. One guy paid $4.7 million, and people say that's money laundering. Is a devout Christian virgin. I'm a virgin. I'm a virgin till this day, she previously told YouTube streamer Kowski. I'm a Christian. I know it seems odd that I'm doing OnlyFans, but I don't do anything else with anyone on my OnlyFans. It's just me. Sophie has also insisted that she's waiting for the right person to spend the rest of my life with. The influencer has maintained her virginal status despite being romantically linked to Shoot Me Out rapper? I don't know. NLE Choppa and controversial streamer Aiden Ross. She restated her virginal status during a stream with Aiden, in which she denied ever sleeping with him. I'm a virgin and I didn't want people to think that you'd hit it. That you hit it, she told him. Despite her proclamations of virginity, some fans online have questioned whether or not she's really untouched, she claims. She's full of nobody, one naysayer posted to X, while another wrote, is Sophie Rain actually a virgin or is it all marketing? However, other fans have taken the star at face value, with one writing, Sophie Rain is a virgin or a Christian? She's a keeper. The social media sensation, who turned 20 in September, has been everywhere since she announced that she'd earned $43 million in OnlyFans. She posted more of her OnlyFans receipts to X, revealing that her biggest sugar daddy on the platform, yep, $4.7 million on her in less than 12 months. And people are saying it's money laundering. He had to get rid of the money. Big thank you to my top spender. The guy's name is Charlie. Big thank you to my...
Shane?
No. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. Top spender for being there since the beginning, Sophie gushed. Sophie boasts more than 9 million followers on TikTok, 5 million on Instagram, and 3 million on Snap. Her most popular TikTok video, which shows her dancing to rapper Jay Dash's hit WAP in a gaming arcade. Man, you couldn't say that. If somebody's Italian, that's going to be a bit of a... What you got a problem with? What do you got a problem with the Italian? They are up in the gaming arcade. What's going on here?
Yeah, some of that winter.
Well, Sophie always dreamed of becoming a top influencer. She never predicted she would one day be making millions on OnlyFans. Still waiting to wake up from a dream. There it is, right there. There's Charlie, right there.
Ooh, Charlie.
Look at that buddy. Look at that money. That's a lot of money.
Get my thumbs,
Charlie. Now, listen. Now, here's the interesting part. He paid for subscriptions, no posts, and no streams. He only paid to have the woman message him. And he paid her $4 million in tips. It sounds like there's something fishy going on there. Okay, so while Sophie always dreamed of becoming
super thirsty.
He's got some money to get rid of, like dirty money probably. Yeah. I really think it is. It is possible. Becoming a top influencer, she never predicted that she would one day be making millions on OnlyFans. I'm still waiting to wake up from the dream. None of this feels real, she has said previously. The average OnlyFans creator only earns about $1,300 per year, according to Business Insider, while Sophie was able to make an eye-watering $43 million between November 2023 and 2024. Dr. Phil star Danielle Bad Barbie Bregoli famously earned $57 million, but that was over a three-year period. Although she's a multimillionaire, she grew up in Florida on food stamps. After hitting it big on OnlyFans, she used some of her earnings to pay off her parents. We're going to mute this, but I do want
to...
That's her. That's one. $43 million for this girl. She's funding cancer research with her content. Yeah. You know, she's got a kind of a fit body, so I'm kind of into that.
Good looking.
Yeah. After hitting it big on OnlyFans, she used some of her earnings to pay off her parents' tax debts. Now my parents don't have to live paycheck to paycheck, she said proudly. Sophie said that her parents were surprised by the gesture before her dad burst into tears. My dad started crying when he realized what I'd done. He gave me the biggest hug ever and kept thanking me, she shared. They told me to just keep doing what I'm doing and they'll always support me no matter what. It feels so nice to be able to help my parents and siblings. She finished, that's all I've ever wanted to do and that's one of the main reasons I do what I do. Seeing them struggle growing up really affected me and they don't deserve that. But doesn't this go back to women going to using their bodies to make as much money as they possibly can back in the old days? It's still in the same realm as regular prostitution.
Yeah. I mean...
That's literally it. It just goes back to the basic...
Whether you're saving yourself and trying to stay Christian or not...
Right.
You're...
Right.
Opening the door for many other people.
Right. So, okay, guys, this is all we've got for now. We've got plenty more articles for you, but he's got to get a move on.
Yeah.
And I got to get a move on because we got to go into some fetish locators. So, right, guys, we will see you next time. I know the music kind of died, but oh well, whatever. We had to talk. So, all right, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show. Remember our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. Go grab one of those, or the Waifu Goo, or the Follow Me Eyes, or whatever you want to get. And stay tuned. More Subverse coming. You guys are going to get the end of Subverse this week. We are not doing the fucking, even though I want to, because I've heard their actual, like, quests. They're not just, here's some extra shit. No, this is a full quest and 5 minutes of sex. Fully animated minutes of sex with the...
Okay.
Yeah, it's full, like, professional, high-quality animation. Okay. So I'm like, man, I kind of want to see that. But the thing is, it's more game, and I want to get back to the one I was playing before Subverse.
You can always come
back. We can always come back, because the game is going to continue. I've actually listened to a 2-hour interview with a dev, and basically, they said that they're going to continue to add content to the game. So, I will be coming back to it, and you'll get continued videos from Subverse. So, at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and... We'll have more content for you guys later. I know this was supposed to be, what was it, Dark Week, but we had to throw that in the garbage because, obviously, we got some really dark shit coming that I didn't know was coming. So, night shift nurses and, what was it, the lone wolf and the restless sheep, something like that. Really fucked up games. So, we'll be giving you guys those pretty soon. And I am out of here. We will see you next time.
All right, later.
Enjoy the incline, folks. It's only getting better. And I'm out.